all the talk, all the time. This is TalkZone.com. Internet Talk Radio. Now, more of the Traveling On Radio Show on TalkZone.com.
And welcome back to the Traveling On Radio Show. Ian and Tanya here to talk some travel, and had a great segment there with good friend Rick Webster of the USTA.
Good friend.
Absolutely,
he's
a Wolverine. At least he knows which team to pick from Michigan. But in any event, we're going to shift our focus to voluntourism, and it's one of the fastest growing segments in the travel marketplace, and we're going to talk to our voluntourism guru, Alexia Nestora of Lasso Communications, who's been with us before. Alexia, welcome back.
Thank you for having me back.
Well, we're happy to have you here. As we think about voluntourism, it obviously involves travel, volunteering, often for a charitable cause, and it involves putting in some time at a destination, perhaps a remote destination. And does it come at a cost to the traveler, or is it something that can be done at a minimal cost for the traveler?
You know, it's a very good question. There's a wide range, I would say, of volunteerism opportunities. So you can volunteer in the national parks in the U.S. and it can be very cheap. It can be the cost of your camping. Or you can go to India and volunteer for a month, and you may go through an organization, and the organization is going to cost you probably $2,000 to $3,000 plus whatever your airfare is going to be. So it can go from very cheap to very expensive. But it's really what sacrifices you're prepared to make is how cheap it can be. If you're willing to live with a family and not live in a five-star hotel, obviously going to be cheaper. And one thing that's great about the volunteer vacations is they are tax deductible. So a lot of people find that really appealing.
Oh, I say, my ears just perked up when you said that. I forgot about that, but that is a very important point to mention that. Volunteer activity, volunteer travel is tax deductible. Now, Alexia, I know you've just completed research in the area of voluntourism trends. Tell us a little bit about the state of the industry and whether it's growing or in decline because of the economy. Where are we now with this trend?
Yeah, you know, we just finished the study in May, and we got some really great results. No study like that had been done before of the industry, so it was the first time we could really get a pulse and get the whole industry working together on one research report, which that in itself was a huge accomplishment. But, you know, in general, the recession has really helped volunteerism. People are, you know, no longer scared to take those 3 months off because if they've just been laid off, they have the extra time. A lot of people are getting really nice severance packages. All of a sudden, they've got 3, 4, 6 months off that they can take to volunteer. As well, college kids are deferring going to college, or they're deferring starting a corporate world job for a year and taking that time off to volunteer. So overall, we found that 61% of the volunteer providers are actually expecting 2009 to be much bigger than 2008 was. So it really is that's a huge growth trend in travel in this year.
Do you think it's because, you know, people are looking for transformational opportunities, or because of a layoff, or which is a major life-changing event, people just kind of want to take time out to regroup and, you know, give back? I mean, where do you see this growth coming from, and other than the layoffs, et cetera, but
It's been a growing trend, and I feel like the industry itself has evolved pretty well in the last 2 years. So I guess a few years ago, people knew of volunteerism, they'd heard of it, but they had no idea how to do it themselves. And now all of a sudden, the industry has gotten a bit more web savvy. People can find trips a lot easier. They can afford trips. There's been a couple, the Serve America Act was just passed, which gives about $1 million in volunteer abroad scholarships. As well as Travelocity is offering scholarships via their Travel for Good site. So all of a sudden, you know, there's a couple of opportunities, people who couldn't afford it before, and then all of a sudden they can find it. You know, it's all of a sudden it's doable. People used to think it's only Brad and Angelina can volunteer abroad. You've got to be a celebrity. You've got to have millions. And now it really is for the everyday person. You can go to Uganda and work in Uganda for 4 weeks in the middle of a village, and it's $800 for the land portion. That's what the companies are going to charge you. So all of a sudden, it's become kind of affordable. And, you know, we've looked at, in that study, we looked at people's motivations for volunteering. And the top two, they said, was, which is really good to hear personally, is the first one is they want to be useful. They really want to help communities. They want a genuine project. And then the second thing that they said was they want to come away and kind of have a personal learning experience. Feel like they've developed themselves as well as helped the community.
If you're just joining us, we are talking to Alexia Nestoria of Lasso Communications as we get some insights into volunteerism. And if you want to join in on the conversations, you can call us on the studio line at 888-463-6748. When we talk about volunteerism, it really encompasses a lot of activities. And I am curious, so much of the spotlight of volunteerism comes when we've had natural disasters. And so clearly disaster relief is one aspect, perhaps kind of the more unfortunate side of volunteerism, but a necessary part. But the other part of this is really helping to build communities and provide a learning and educational experience, as you spoke to. What are you getting a sense of that people want to be part of? Do they want to be part of helping out even in a time of crisis where there may not necessarily be as much vacationing taking place, as opposed to being part of a kind of a set project where they know that they are going to be contributing to the growth and development of a community?
Oh, wow. That's a big question. If I forget something, let me know. I'll start with, you know, the fact over vacation over really a project. And yes, you've definitely seen a huge surge during disaster relief. And what people have started doing is not going necessarily to the area that's affected, but still going to the country and going to help areas in the country that need the help but don't have it because all the resources have gone to the coast or have gone to the mountains. So that's been a nice trend to see, I think. And then, you know, a lot of adventure travel companies have joined this kind of volunteerism trend in the last couple of years. And they kind of have half vacation, half service. And those companies haven't actually done very well. They haven't sold a lot of trips. The ones that are 100% volunteering are still kind of the bread and butter, the things that people want to go on. So for me, I think that's a great sign. People really want to go. They want to give back. They might plan a day or two before or after to go wander around and see the country. But their main goal when they're looking for an organization is, I want to volunteer 7 days a week. Hard. I want to really make a difference. For me, that was an awesome thing to see. And as for activities, you know, teaching and building are still by far the most popular. Building is kind of a self-explanatory. People can see what they've done at the end of it. It's something concrete. Teaching as well. You know, you're not going to teach a kid English. You're not going to teach them calculus, but you might teach them their ABCs. And you might teach them how to count from 1 to 10. It is that kind of tangible, look what I've done kind of a result. And I guess if I might get on my pedestal here for a second, but if when people are considering taking a volunteer vacation, I would just advise them four activities. It's really been popular to push orphanage tourism. Working in an orphanage. Be really careful of, I call them pet the children projects. You know, if you're going to an orphanage for half a day, you're really not helping anybody but yourself. It's encouraging the wrong kind of behavior in the kids. They're learning that foreigners mean money. You know, foreigners mean gifts. I mean, it just creates a bad cycle. But you know, consumers really want to. They really want that experience of, I went to an orphanage and I gave a kid a bike, or I went to an orphanage and I did this. And I would just really request people to step back and see, okay, not what you did, but how did the orphanage benefit themselves? And if you can really answer that question, then go for that project. But there's been a huge increase lately of Pet the Children projects.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And I think sometimes as a journalist, commit faux pas and express opinions, but I truly agree with you there. I'm just curious, in the study that you've just completed, did you analyze by any chance the growing trend of volunteer vacations, volunteerism, and its impact on organizations like the Peace Corps?
You know, we've had a little bit of results on that, but we didn't do any specific questions related to it. But I do know from kind of hearsay from talking to the Peace Corps people that they have definitely seen a rise in applications. That's probably the only thing that I can share of that.
Oh, well, I mean, that's a wonderful surprise, because I was thinking, you know, volunteerism actually may be a competitor to, you know, something like the Peace Corps, which requires that you spend 6 months to 2 years on a project, versus, you know, 3 months or a week or a month at a time. So that's actually a nice surprise.
It actually ended up being a really complementary set of, I don't want to call them products, but set of ideas, I guess. Just because a lot of people have done volunteer vacations now for a month, gotten the feel of it, and then really decided if Peace Corps was the right thing for them. And so we've kind of helped Peace Corps, and volunteerism has kind of helped each other out by we hope that we're providing more qualified applicants to them,
mm-hmm.
applicants that are really kind of used to it and that have had a little bit of a taster of it, and now, okay, I want to go back and do it. And I've talked to a lot of alumni of volunteer vacations who have gone on to apply for the Peace Corps or gone on to do something really service-oriented at home.
Now, for those who are thinking about doing a volunteerism trip, how important, and just in terms of the study results, how important is it to have a international focus versus a focus that's more domestic? Does it seem that having the international component to it, the ability to travel abroad, is that an important selling point in getting folks to take a look at volunteerism?
Yeah, it definitely is. And I think as trends like slow travel and green travel have come more to the forefront, people are looking for an opportunity to go and not only visit Peru, but they want to live with a Peruvian family. They want to really get deeper into the culture than your traditional tour has done. And so I think that's kind of the motivation is, okay, I can go and really live in a different country for a while. And I mean, yeah, there's certain places in the U.S. where it is very different culturally, and people can do that. But the U.S. volunteer opportunities tend to be shorter duration. So it is kind of going for a week or going for a weekend. You know, for New Orleans, you can go for a day to help build houses. You know, so that tends to be shorter. But if you're going abroad, you're going for at least a week. And so then you really have that cultural experience. People really like that, kind of getting to know a family, being able to go back 2 years later and see the house that they built. That's kind of the motivating factor that we found for that international travel.
Now, speaking of which, how can people learn about travel opportunities, volunteer vacations abroad? I know domestically we'll be profiling a book that you're familiar with as well in our next segment, Volunteer Vacations Across America, and I know that's one resource. I would assume your website, volunteerismgal.com, offers some resources. But for those who are just now, you know, thinking about it and trying to decide on a project, how can they learn about opportunities?
You know, I do have very limited stuff on my website. It's just a list of providers. So if people want to look at providers, they're welcome to do that. Otherwise, to be honest, Google. as horrible as it is to say that, there isn't one site really that's there to conglomerate all the opportunities quite yet. Volunteer travel has been linked in with adventure travel, and it kind of gets mixed in with a bunch of these big travel websites, so you can't go on Travelocity and find it. I would recommend, you know, Googling volunteerism in the country that you're interested in, or the continent that you're interested in, and see what the results are from there. And I mean, people can always, I mean, if they have a question, if they have a real specific trip, anybody can always email me and say, hey, I'm interested in going to Kenya for 4 weeks. Who do you recommend? I'm happy to answer any questions.
Yeah, because my concern too, you know, for our listening audience was they Google a supplier and they sign up with a supplier. There's really no organization or vetting instrument that can help them make an informed decision about such supplier. And so is there another way that people can protect themselves against fraud or anything of that sort.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think it's part of being an educated consumer, and I can give a couple questions that they can ask just to kind of do their due diligence. One, I would ask to speak to a past volunteer, someone who's done that trip before. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the company's only going to give you somebody that had a good experience, but you'll be able to kind of get the nitpicky questions that you have about the bed linen or the water or the food, that kind of stuff that your typical person answering the phone to book it won't know. You can really kind of really speak to somebody and question them a lot. Ask the company where the money goes. So if you're paying $1,500 for 2 weeks, how much of that is going into the community? There's arguments for and against if the money should actually go into the community. But either way, just make them answer that question. All responsible companies are used to getting that question or comfortable with their answer. If they kind of brush you off, which most of the adventure travel companies will, I would doubt that I wouldn't go with them. But
okay.
Now, yeah. Alexia, one of the things that you've mentioned is kind of this relationship with voluntourism and adventure travel, and it's kind of opened a question that I'd like you to address in terms of the study. Did it point to any generational trends with respect to voluntourism? Is it something that younger people seem more attuned to doing as opposed to older people? What are some of the trends that you're seeing in terms of generational effects?
Well, there's definitely a huge surge of college kids and high school kids. That's always been the bread and butter of voluntourism. Then, to be honest, recently in the last year with the recession, we've seen a really big spike in 30 to 45-year-olds volunteering, and I think that's because of layoffs and people taking time off. And then there's another huge spike up after 60-plus and people have retired. So traditionally, it's kind of been both ends of the age spectrum, but now all of a sudden it's starting to level itself out a little bit more, and we're seeing families come and young professionals.
Oh, good deal. And before we go, I want to welcome you back. I know you just returned from a trip to Italy, and it was a volunteer vacation. In the last minute we have left, can you tell us a little bit about your experience there, what you did, what you saw, what you experienced?
Yeah, it was a little bit of volunteering, but it was more of an adventure travel. But we were in the Dolomite Mountains with an operator called Dolomite Mountains. It was hiking, eating a lot of pasta, and meeting a lot of really nice people. So it was a great adventure travel place, and nobody really has heard of the Dolomites in the U.S. I highly recommend everyone Google it. It's a beautiful place.
Well, next time I think, it would be appropriate to take a travel radio show, and we could do a live broadcast with you.
That'd be fun. That would be really fun.
Well, welcome back, my dear, and thank you so much for coming on the show again today, and always love to hear from you.
Yay. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Alexia. You. That was Alexia Nestoro with Lasso Communications, and we are actually going to continue talking about voluntourism, but we're going to keep our focus on America and discover various places you can volunteer across America during your vacation. You're listening to the Traveling On Radio Show with Tanya Nee and Fitzpatrick, and we will see you on the other side of this break.
Whether you're traveling by plane, train, or automobile, make travelingon.com your first stop. At travelingon.com, that's travelin-on.com, you can get current travel news and information, buy the latest travel book, and find those great travel bargains. Visit travelingon.com, your premier source for all things travel. That's travelin-on.com, and make sure to sign up for email specials and tune into the Traveling On radio show each week for a chance to win some great travel prizes.
Every hour of every day, an American is diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. MS typically strikes between the ages of 16 and 50 when people are building careers and raising families. Today, there is no known cause or cure for MS. To learn more about this unpredictable disease, to volunteer, or to make a contribution to this important mission, please call 1-800-FIGHT-MS. You can make a difference by helping us stop this devastating disease. Please call 1-800-FIGHT-MS today. Thank you.
Would it be crazy if you packed your bags and left? for a week, a month, a year? What if you left for 2 years? What if you were going far away to help in a village on the edge of the Gobi Desert? To spend time with people the rest of the world only reads about? To teach children and learn a thing or two about yourself? Would that be crazy? Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.